across America and around the world. Welcome to America's number one veterans program, Veterans Radio. And now, here's the voice of today's program here at Veterans Radio, former CB Chu Lai 66 Republic of Vietnam, Gary Lilly.
Well, thank you, Bob. Good morning to you, too. 101st Airborne you're representing. And good morning to the troops, that thin green and blue line that's protecting not only our country, but the rest of the world. What a fine job you're doing, and us older vets admire you. I want to say welcome home to my veteran brothers and sisters. Welcome home. And to the folks down under, thanks for listening in. Good morning, America. Welcome to Veterans Radio. We've got a good program lined up. John Voight will be on later as soon as we restore the connection. He's a delightful person. He and I have talked a number of times this week, and he's just as delightful as could be. We laughed a lot. We talked about some serious things in some very upbeat fashion. But right now we've lost the connection, so Bob is over there dialing numbers. I'll go into some of the introductions before we get them back on. In 1969, John Voight made a big splash with the movie Midnight Cowboy. He made it with Dustin Hoffman. It was kind of hilarious. I was looking on the internet last night, and I saw a photograph of the two of them walking side by side. Dustin Hoffman comes up to his shoulder. 1972, Deliverance. 1978, Coming Home, in which he played a paraplegic Vietnam veteran who had turned against the war. He did that with Jane Fonda. Many other movies and TV programs. What I found interesting is that Dustin has two brothers. Wes, who goes by the writer's name of Chip Taylor, he wrote Wild Thing, the songs Wild Thing and Angel of the Morning. And his brother Barry studied geology at Columbia and is a volcanologist at Penn State.
Those are two of my favorite songs. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. I played in the band, and we played that. I love that. You make my heart sing.
I keep forgetting you got a rock and roll band. Give us some announcements while I get my throat back.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Veterans Radio. Veterans Radio is going to be a part of the big game at Eastern Michigan University, Ryerson Stadium. That'll be Saturday, September 5th. That's right, Saturday, September 5th. It's going to be a night game, kickoff at 7 o'clock. However, you'll be able to get tickets, that's right, for a special price of just $3, of which a dollar of that will benefit the EMU, that Eastern Michigan University ROTC program, and that's going to be used for some very, very, very important facilities that they're going to build. It's going to be a new rifle range. So, over the next 4 weeks, we will let you know how you can purchase your tickets. You can get them online, order forms, etc., right here on Veterans Radio. By the way, we're going to have a pregame program. That's right. We're going to be on it in our usual time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But we're going to have veterans that are going to be there as part of the Army. And when I say the Army, I mean like in West Point. Please, hey, ooh, hey. How about that, Gary? You know how you eat a square meal, right? You know, they do that.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen that.
Square meal.
Right.
Okay, that'll be, once again, Saturday, September 5th. The kickoff is at 7 o'clock. The tailgate party is from 4 to 7, and all veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces, all veterans, all armed forces are invited to attend the pregame party prior to the football game. That's from 4 to 7, and there will be no charge for veterans and their families to attend that tailgate party. There will be all kinds of things, you know, hot dogs and all that good stuff. And parking is also free. So we'll be talking more about discount tickets for that game. How about that? That's going to be great, eh?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
The Army's coming.
And it's easier to get in there than to the Big Ten or the Big Eight or Southeast Conference. You know, you got to park a mile away if you want free parking.
Well, not anymore.
not
I think we're going to have that all
yeah,
set.
Right.
So, Are we set for Welcome Home?
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Welcome Home.
I think that would be an excellent
let's
idea.
Welcome Home the Troops.
Welcome Home. This is Bob Gould welcoming home all troops. All troops each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who've been stationed around the world in the service of their country and are returning home. Dateline, Houston, Texas. The 712th Military Police Company, combat support of the Texas National Guard, based in Baytown, Texas, were welcomed home after a year in Iraq. Dateline, Fargo, North Dakota. The Happy Hooligans, that's right, Happy Hooligans, have sent mechanics, security police, and other support personnel to Iraq, Afghanistan, and other areas of the Southeast Asia theater. That's been many times in the past recent years. The last deployment to an unnamed location in Southeast Asia, the 119th Wing of the North Dakota Air National Guard also sent some hardware. Last week, the Hooligans welcomed home airmen sent overseas in May in one of two of the units C-21A Lear jets. The deployment marks the first time the Hooligans sent a jet into a war zone, despite the many years the unit has been in operation. Dateline, Illinois. After a long year in Afghanistan with the Illinois National Guard, Staff Sergeant Tyrone Reddus was happy to be reunited with his Calumet City family at Soldier Field. I quote, "The first thing I'm going to do is take off this uniform. I love my country, but I've been wearing it for a year," said Sergeant Reddus, as he was among the 147 troops to return from the state's largest National Guard deployment since World War II. His unit, the headquarters and headquarters company, 1st Battalion, 178th Infantry, was deployed in Afghanistan. Each week, Welcome Home is brought to you by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Our government is united in its determination to take all necessary measures in support of freedom and in defense of peace in Southeast Asia.
I got a letter from LBJ. It says this is your lucky day. It's time to put your khaki trousers on. Though it may seem very clear, we've got no job to give you here, so we are sending you to Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson stole the nation. Have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to flee. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese.
And I remember that song very well. I remember that speech, I should say, very well. And I was wondering if I was going to end up there. And I was looking forward to it, helping the troops. I was a CB. We built things in support, and we took that seriously. So we're really pleased to welcome John Voight to Veterans Radio. John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Gary, I've been listening. You're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That really means a lot. The way this all came about is you gave a talk twice to the Vietnam veterans at the Vietnam Veterans of America National Convention last week. And it was heartfelt. You could feel it. And I approached you afterwards and asked if you'd be on Veterans Radio, and you said absolutely. Tell us the story of how you happen to be on there, you phone them, and also Seinfeld, the Seinfeld tie-in at the banquet.
Well, I've been working on with a fellow by the name of Jose Ramos, who's a sergeant, served in Vietnam, and he's been working on a welcome home day for the Vietnam vets since the 90s, and has had has organized gatherings out in California, and I attended one of those gatherings, and it was a tremendous gathering. He really organized a very large and very well attended gathering of the Vietnam vets, and I walked into it a couple of months ago, and of course, you know, my history is such that some people know that I was on the other side during the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s. So it was kind of interesting for me to walk in there. But I've been with the Vietnam vets for some time. I have to tell you, I've done a few things specifically for the vets from that time as well. So I wasn't, you know,
I'm aware of that, and I'm looking
so uncomfortable
to, yeah.
Because I... you know, as I might have been if I had treated the vets badly, and I never have done that. So I wasn't so uncomfortable, but I really enjoyed seeing everybody, and then I got up and I made a little speech and admitted, you know, the error of my prior ways and sending my love to the guys. And then they embraced me, and we talked afterward, and then I met Sergeant Ramos there, Jose. And we decided that we would get together to do something on a national level, and that was. And the result of it was this visit to the convention. And for those who don't know what the VVA convention was in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was attended by very well attended by I guess over 650 people from across the country.
It's a serious group.
Yeah, a very serious group, and. And I was, I had given a speech to a group last year, which was a USO gathering to raise funds for the USO in New York. And General Petraeus had attended that, and it was the audience was filled with military guys. And I made a speech, and the speech was very impactful to the people who were listening. So I repeated that speech. After some introduction and a joke or two, as you remember, and then I gave the same speech pretty much, adjusting it only slightly to the guys who were there. And I would read that speech to the people listening now, so that they would understand where I'm coming from and some of the things that I might have said there.
Bob, will we have time in the first segment for him to read the speech? I think it's about 5 minutes long, is it, John?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yes, we do. So,
okay, let me go right into it.
Go ahead.
Certainly.
I've got something serious on my mind because I was the MC that night, and I said, I feel humbled and greatly blessed to be here with you all. You are indeed our great American heroes. You are the true ones. And I'm saying this now to all the people listening, to all the military listening. You are the true ones, the blessed ones. You understand the importance of keeping America safe. America could not be the great power for good without you. I've been asked to be with you tonight, and this is a great honor. And if I would like to address a very serious topic that has plagued me for years. Back in the late 60s, I was one of those young people caught up in trying to end the Vietnam War. There was a fire and fever burning in our country, and I'm saddened and ashamed of it. If I knew then that a bloodbath of millions of innocent people would take place, I certainly would not have been part of that insanity. And to think today we still have people like William Ayers boasting about his terrorist acts against our government, and proudly stating he still feels he didn't do enough, and he and people like him are given a voice to be able to spout their madness. We let him teach in our colleges, where he is able to corrupt our new generation of young, impressionable minds. How sad I feel that our war heroes of Vietnam were not given a hero's welcome back then, and their suffering was unimaginable. So many American lives lost in vain, and no one hailed those that returned. Can we blame them for their bitterness? our country turned against them because of people like William Ayers and all those who still refuse to admit they were wrong. We have almost seen a repeat of this madness during the Iraq War. We've seen how they tried to discredit our great general Petraeus, trying to end this war before we saw victory. Yes, we still have a lot of people from the Vietnam era trying to bring the country down. And when I look out among all you great American heroes, I can be thankful to God He has given me an opportunity to repent from my young, ignorant, arrogant days, and I'm here to be able to try to see it does not happen again. I would like to see a day of true remembrance, of true recognition, to honor our Vietnam War heroes who fought the longest military conflict in U.S. history. Something specific just for them. I'm proud of you all. You are true magnificence. Thank you for letting me speak my heart.
That speech really touched the hearts of a lot of people. Some of the comments, the one that sticks out in my mind was one of the guys said, "What a stand-up guy."
Well, it was...
You know, we always talk about clicks of elevation. The guys are saying that you went up a lot of clicks that day.
Yeah, well, it was a big day for me, very important for me to express that. And, of course, I was able to, you know, meet all the guys during the brief time that I had. I think I must have, you know, shaken almost every hand in the place and had a word or two, you know, to share. And I was deeply impressed with that group, I must say. I spent a lot of time in hospitals welcoming, you know, some of the kids back from our present war. And I'm very impressed with that group. This is, of course, a full volunteer group. And they are the best of us, as I say, you know.
But when I was
with the Vietnam vets, I must tell you, I said, no, maybe these guys are even of a higher understanding because they're wiser, older, been through more stuff, and really have extraordinary character. So those two groups of people are really the best we've got.
Let me tell you a little experience Bob and I had a few weeks back. We observed the training at Camp Grayling, Michigan, a specialized training that the National Guard at this moment is going through, and we're going to do a program of that in the future. But I would always tell the troops, you know, us older veterans are proud of you, and the war's kind of tough, so you always have this question in your mind, can the next generation do it? And that feeling probably goes back to before the Roman legions. And I said, I want you guys to know that not only are we very comfortable, we're very impressed with you, and I think personally, you guys are better than we were. And you know what? Three different people at three different places said to me, they said, we have to be. You guys set a very high standard we have to live up to.
Wow, isn't that wonderful?
That's difficult for me to say without choking up.
Yeah.
But you talked about looking in their eyes and the guys in the hospital beds and their attitude as they're laying in the hospital beds. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I had heard it said prior to my going to Walter Reed and to the Bethesda Hospital down here in Maryland, and then also to the hospital down in San Diego where I am right now. I just did the Hannity Freedom Concert last night, and so I'm down you know, close to my friends here.
Who is that concert for, by the way?
The concert is it's Sean Hannity has these freedom concerts, and the concerts are to raise money for scholarships for the children of the fallen. And
what a noble cause.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And this was the work of Colonel Oliver North, and he hooked up with Sean, and the two of them have been responsible for these concerts, and they're just terrific. And
I didn't mention this to you. Maybe I did. I came across a letter from the government, Department of Veterans Affairs, recently as I'm cleaning out a bunch of boxes. It said it was for my scholarship, my GI Bill. The money, I forget the term, is $24.65 per month, and you have 31 and a half months eligibility left. Less than $30 a month.
Oh, my God.
But I wasn't going full-time, admittedly. The guys going full-time probably got three or four times that much.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing... We should be surrounding these warriors, you guys and these fellows who are fighting today, with everything. We should just give them every kind of backup.
It's more than just putting a bumper sticker on.
Oh, man. We've got to do that. That's the big work. I was in touch with some of these guys who were fighting this land grab of veteran lands, and I hooked up with them shortly after I came back. They're also terrific guys. Gee, what wonderful fellas! And so I'm on that team too. I'll be doing a little work with them. But that's what our country has to do. And one of the reasons why I really feel a day to honor the Vietnam vets. I know the Vietnam vets don't need it. In a certain sense, they don't need it. They've gone through all the damn pain that they can go through, and they've developed very strong character, those that were there were very successful people who have had families and overcome so many things. But it's almost more necessary for the country. The country really needs to make amends, and there isn't anybody that I have talked to about, giving a day of welcome home to the Vietnam guys that hasn't said, "Oh, that's important, John. That's important. We got to do that." And this goes across the political lines and everything else. I mean, there's nobody who hasn't understood that. So I think the time has come when people just say, "Please let us make up some of the." For some of the things we did.
Well, society has a huge part in the healing of people coming back from a war. Everybody talks about how the World War II guys got on with their lives, but the whole country mourned for those that were killed there. The whole country honored them for what they did.
Yeah.
That helps you heal because you realize that it wasn't just in vain, and it's not whether you win or lose. I mean, it's how, our country thinks highly of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's.
But you know,
I wanted to address something with what you said at some point, but maybe we'll do it after the break.
Okay. I was just going to add on to that. ADD. Never mind. Go ahead. What do you think people could do?
For the vets?
Correct.
For you guys?
Not for the vets. For the. For the troops overseas now, we really need to support them.
Oh my gosh! Well, I think that once we clear the air, the priorities are all messed up. Isn't that true? We celebrate. One thing that happened during 9/11, in the aftermath of 9/11, people woke up to who the real heroes are, and that means the military, and that means the firemen and the first responders,
right.
And we needed to really wake up. I'm an actor, and I have a great respect for those of us who take our job seriously, and the entertainers who have such great talent and give of their talents to folks and stuff like that. But we've become very narcissistic, this community, and. Also, in a silly way, the country has been encouraged to view these people as something special, and they're really not very special. They're certainly not as special as our military or our firemen or our nurses or our teachers. The vocation is not a vocation that is heroic. And something's gotten way off here. So we've got to put that right, and I think that once it's put right again, once we say, hey, listen, fellas, there are people who are signing the blank checks, who are putting their lives on the line for us every day. These are the people that we should be revering, and we should be caring for them, especially when they're in need.
Exactly.
In any way, we should drop everything else and take care of these guys and gals and their families. They should not be able to fall. We should be backing them up in every way.
I was at a VBA convention, maybe 8-10 years ago, and Dale Dye, who is the military consultant.
I know him, yeah.
He's a character, isn't he?
I don't know him to know he's a character. I just know that I bumped into him a couple of times. I always thought he was a good guy, you know.
Oh, definitely is, yes.
Yeah, I think he's a real guy. You know?
In fact, right now, that's...
He's involved. The good thing about him is that he's connected to some real loonies out here who he gets along with, and he's actually able to take a seat at the table and stick up for proper values in some of these discussions. So that's where I find him to be helpful.
For people in the listening audience who don't know who Dale Dye is, he's been on the program, but that was about 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is the military consultant, and he's become very close friends with Tom Hanks and Gary Sinise because he's done the work on Forrest Gump.
He's also a close friend of Oliver Stone's.
Oliver Stone, his first break was the movie Platoon. What he does is he prepares the actors for playing the role of somebody in a war. And as I said to him, when I saw Platoon, I leaned over to a buddy of mine who had not been in the military, and I said, I don't know how they did it, but they got the eyes right. Those eyes were tired. And what he does is he takes them up in the mountains for 3 weeks, and he has them walking patrols with heavy packs, getting ambushed, not getting much sleep, and all that. Then they go right to filming. And he's not easy on them. They get ambushed. They do assault. But one thing that he said at that convention, which ties in with what you're saying, was when someone in the military raises their hand and takes that oath, they're not saying, I'm willing to give up a couple days' pay, or I'm willing to give up some overtime or some vacation time. I'm willing to give up my life if need be for my country.
Yeah.
And that hits the nail on the head. And how can we not honor those that are out there protecting? They took an oath, and basically that it's a open written blank check. I'll give up my life for my country, and they do. So you are doing wonderful work, and you've been going to the hospitals. What do you see when you talk to those wounded troops?
Well, I always am amazed when I walk in those doors. And by the way, I always feel better coming out than when I go in, you know.
Yep.
I'm always a little worried that I won't be able to take it a little bit and I won't say the right things and be of good cheer to these guys. But I don't have to worry about it. I go in those doors, and no matter what the injury, I'm meeting a cheerful person. I say, how you doing? And they say, doing real good, John. Thank you. Thanks. You know, I mean, oh, my God.
Might be in a body cast, might have brain.
Yeah, no, I'm real, serious injuries. And,
right.
But always looking for a moment of good cheer or laughter. And thank you for your service. No problem.
Yeah.
No problem. That's what you get, you know.
No, I'm laying in a hospital bed, but no problem.
And then you say, well, what do you want to do? So I'd like to get back in there. I'd like to get back with my guys. As soon as they fix this leg, I'll be able to do something with it. Hopefully I'll be able to keep it but if I lose it, they'll find something else for me to do. Whatever. I mean, it's like you can't believe what you're seeing in terms of this positive energy and the strength of these people. And, obviously they have their good days and bad when you're in a hospital. You know, you have your down days, especially with those who are seriously injured. But they're extraordinary.
They are. We've got a half a minute left, and I wanted to comment on that. Is I asked the question earlier, what can people do for our troops? There's VA hospitals all across the country. They could volunteer.
Also, I saying that, absolutely volunteer, but, you know, the one thing they can do is visit. Just go.
Exactly.
You know, just go spend it. If you have a little free time, go over there and bring them some flowers or something.
We're going off in 4 seconds. Will you stay with us?
Yes.
Thank you so much. We'll be back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Marine Corps Sergeant Daniel Matthews became a one-man army before being killed. Details after this.
Why are you so distant?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Back against a firmly entrenched and well-concealed North Vietnamese force, Matthews fearlessly advanced in the attack until his squad was pinned down by a murderous sweep of fire from an enemy machine gun. Observing that the deadly fire prevented a corpsman from removing a wounded man in the open area, Matthews worked his way to the base of the hostile and machine gun emplacement, leaped onto the rock formation surrounding the gun, and single-handedly charged the hostile emplacement with his rifle. Although severely wounded when the enemy brought a withering hail of fire to bear upon him, he continued his one-man assault, and firing his rifle with deadly effectiveness, succeeded in killing two of the enemy, routing a third, and completely silencing the enemy weapon, thereby enabling his comrades to evacuate the stricken Marine to a safe position. Matthews succumbed to his wounds before aid could reach him.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Iraq, Afghanistan, and other qualified veterans, your country needed you. Now the Veterans of Foreign Wars needs you. The VFW is not an organization where members sit around and tell war stories. We are advocates for those who serve. We fought for the new GI Bill, and you can be part of our next win. We are your peers, and we want you to be one of us. Your membership is free the first year, so contact Graf O'Hara, Post 423 at VFW423.org. That's VFW423.org. We're back on the air, and we've lost John Voight again, so Bob is dialing the number. Before we get him back on, what he is working towards to help promote with Sergeant Jose Ramos is a welcome home for Vietnam veterans that will be nationwide. It does not have to be a huge parade, although he'd like to see parades take place. It could be a block party. It could be an event at a shopping mall. It could be a city-sponsored, a town-sponsored, a church-sponsored event. And it's March 28th. There's a Vietnam Veterans Recognition Day passed by Congress of March 30th. And this would be 2 days beforehand because March 30th is on a Tuesday, and looking for the event to be held on, I guess that would be Saturday. It's funny that Congress picked March 30th because all of the bills, when I was researching, trying to find the date, said March 29th, and that had to do with some event at the end of the Vietnam War. I have no idea. I don't remember what. But they selected March 30th anyway, and so that's the official day every year for Vietnam Veterans Recognition Day, and the Welcome Home event, the Welcome Home Party for Vietnam Vets will be March 28th, 2010. Don't wait for somebody else to organize it. You can organize it yourself. One of the things John was talking about made me think about, and it had to do with our freedom. And Benjamin Franklin said, "He who gives up freedom for temporary safety deserves neither freedom nor safety." And that's the country wasn't built on marshmallows. I mean, this was built by hard people doing hard things to create freedom. The first country in the world that had it like that, like we have it. And we need to preserve that. We need to, when I talk to, along with other vets, to high school classes, the kids ask, you know, why did you join the military? And I was shocked to hear that other people said the same thing I said, and that was John F. Kennedy said, "Ask not what you can, what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." And we've got John Voight back on the line. John, we keep losing you. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that's the name of the game with this technology, huh, Gary?
Right. Well, Yeah, I shouldn't complain. You're sitting over there in California, and we're over here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we're talking like we're sitting next door to each other, and people
that's
all around the world are listening like we're sitting next door to each other.
Absolutely.
I was just talking about that National Day of Celebration that Jose Ramos and you are working on.
Yeah.
What is your vision for it?
Well, the idea would be just to have... you know, have all across the country to... First of all, let me say that the Senate and the House have both voted to have a day of recognition for the Vietnam vets on March 30th. And what that falls on a Tuesday, so we were thinking on that Sunday, the 28th, that we would have this welcome home day across the country in malls and on baseball fields and, you know... military bases, also just all across the country, you know, block parties to welcome home the Vietnam vets and have, you know, have whatever day, whatever way the celebration might take place in a local spot, that they would find a way to take those vets who are local and salute them and stand for them and honor them, you know, and there's so much to express, so the day would be full of a lot of real information and then a lot of happiness and you know, family fun and all of that. But the people like myself and many, you know, people all across the country would be able to stand up and say, I'm sorry for what happened. And let's not let that happen to the new guys who are so in need when they're coming back. And let's surround those guys with love. So it's a two-pronged thing. It's one, to celebrate and welcome home the vets of the Vietnam era, and then to take that energy and pledge that we will surround the new warriors with all sorts of love, understanding what they go through, and do everything we can for them. So that's the idea.
Recognizing what they go through. I don't know if anybody could ever understand it. Like, there was somebody said something to me that indicated that I was pro-war, and I said, excuse me, there's nobody who is more opposed to war than those who have been there. And I've told my veteran friends about that statement, and we all laugh and we say, yeah, who would not want to have your feet rotting off? Who would not want to be wet all the time, mud all the time, so tired you don't know if you can take another step, scared to death half the time, lonely, hungry? Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah,
so for people that say that somebody who's been there is pro-war, it is laughable. and you can't ever understand it.
Yeah, it's very, very important that, and I think that, you know, the idea that people don't want to know that in a certain sense because it makes them feel guilty for not participating.
That's a good point.
I think that that's what's so important. We should recognize the people, the heroes who are doing this work for us on a daily basis for us to have the freedoms that we have and to the enjoyments and our, just every aspect of our daily lives is paid for by, you know, members of our community who are heroic.
Let me tell you something that occurred the other day to me. I went to one of the town hall meetings on the health plan, and as chance would have it, I was standing in line next to a 30-year-old guy who was a lieutenant and now out of the military, who had done two tours in Iraq. And we were talking about Iraq a lot, what's going on over there, and, you know, I told stories about Vietnam, he told stories about Iraq, and at one point, listen to this, he looked around and he said, do you know what I love about America? I asked, what's that? He said, look at this crowd waiting to go into a political meeting, and it's a huge crowd, it was 600 people, and he said, you know what, nobody's looking around nervously to see if there's a suicide bomber or a car bomb approaching.
Absolutely.
And boy, when you hear something like that from somebody who has seen it, and he had seen the aftermath of those car bombs and suicide bombers, and when you hear somebody like that say that about America, you really realize how much we take for granted.
Yeah, you bet. There was a point when they were looking around for the Man of the Year, you know, Time Magazine Man of the Year, Newsweek, and all I could think of was our guys over in Iraq. And I'm saying, what's the matter with you people? Don't you understand? It's obvious who the Man of the Year is. The Man of the Year is our soldier.
Exactly. And let's not forget the women. Boy, it's made up about 15% of women now.
Oh, yes, yes. And you know, whenever you honor the soldiers and know the sacrifices they've been through and empathize with that aspect, you certainly must also include their families who do those vigils, you know, who are just, you know, staying at home, praying every day, thinking about their boys and girls and afraid to see
a car pull up in front.
Yeah, absolutely. Going through that suffering until they can touch their loved one again.
I've become very close to some high school kids that come to work for me, and mm-hmm. I think periodically about events that might take them off to a war. I get tears in my eyes, and I have to, you know, walk away before somebody thinks I'm nuts. And I've come to realize it's easier, at least in my experience, I've talked to guys that have been in combat, and I said, you know, it's easier to go to war than it is to have a son or daughter go to war. And boy, everybody agrees to a person. And that goes for the wives, the spouses, I should say. And thank God kids don't have enough experience to really understand why they should worry. But we've got a little over 2 minutes left in this segment, and I want to talk that Seinfeld episode at the beginning. Wes Guidry and Mark Leibson, who are part of National Headquarters for VBA, what was that skit based on that they did on the screen? What program was that? I can't remember.
It was a Seinfeld program in which George Costanza had been sold a car based on the fact that it was John Voight's car. And you can imagine, I don't know if you can imagine, I was asked to if I would do a Seinfeld, if I would appear on a Seinfeld. That's what the question came to me. That's how I found out about this. And I said, and they were such a good team, you know, I really thought that they were a tremendous comedy team. And I said, boy, these guys are terrific, and of course I would do that.
It was based on that TV game show where you have to ask a question, and they showed 30 clips where in that program somebody was saying, John Voight, John Voight, John Voight, John Voight.
Well, that was part of the... That was that. All of that was part of the show. They cut it up, and I must say that Wes and Mark Leibson and Wes Guidry, I don't know how they did that. They didn't have any time. I'd called them just a couple of weeks before the event to say I'd love to visit and speak to the guys, and they threw this thing together. And they went through this Seinfeld episode, and they cut it together and put together this nice little video. And it was really funny how many times my name was mentioned on that show, and they put them all together. So it was quite funny.
And they did it as a game show where you asked the question, and then the answer was, who is Jerry Seinfeld? And that caught everyone by surprise, and we cracked up. We're going to be back in 16 seconds. Are you willing to stay for us with the last 15 minutes?
You bet.
That would be great. You're listening to Veterans Radio, coming to you on... Veterans Radio Network. Will be right back.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800. 4800 for your no-charge consultation.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552.
too. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
We're back on Veterans Radio with John Voight. And before I leave that Seinfeld clip, in doing my research, I found out that the writer who wrote that skit wrote it because it's exactly what happened to him. He bought a car that was owned by a John Voight, J-O-H-N, and he thought it was you, and he told all of his friends that he bought John Voight's car.
And, that's right.
So it was a true event. Back in...
When I went to the set, Gary, He came up to me very humbly and quietly. He said, could I ask you to take 10 minutes out and just walk with me for a second? I said, sure. And he walked around the corner of the set, and there was this, Chrysler convertible. And he said, is this your car? Did you ever own this car? He still was trying. He couldn't believe he was taken, you know.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. And then he had to learn the awful truth. People in Hollywood?
LeBaron convertible.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a while back, wasn't it?
Go ahead.
What other Hollywood actors and personalities are behind the vets and doing things for them?
And well, of course,
there's a few others.
There's quite a lot of guys, there's guys like Powers Booth and certainly Clint Eastwood as well. But the guy who's doing the most, and he's just a sensational guy, is Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has his band, Lieutenant Dan Band, is that what it is? And, he's constantly traveling. He was just on the East Coast, and he goes all over the place, and he's been to Iraq several times, and he's been to Afghanistan. He's the Bob Hope of today, this guy, and a good friend of mine, and we've spent a lot of time together in California, and our friendship is based on our love of the troops and our, you know, love of the country.
When you did the movie Coming Home, what was your feeling about the troops at that time? I mean, you're a great actor, I know that,
I hated you at times. Well, I always had the... thank God I always had a respect for the troops, as I said, but I was I was just coming out of it, actually, coming out of this fog, because even while the programming was so deep, and that's why I understand what's going on today, very serious business, you know, this programming, and of course, all of that stuff in the 60s, it was Marxist programming, it was communist-run marches, it was real propaganda. And it's what's happening today in many ways.
You have to be suspicious about some things. When the highest ranking KGB officer ever, and he headed up the KGB in one of the countries, Eastern Bloc countries, defected, he said that their budget for the protest movement exceeded their budget for arms and ammunition, weapons, and economic aid combined to North Vietnam.
Say this again, because I'm trying to remember this.
Right.
Their military budget?
Their budget for propaganda of the Vietnam War, the protest
exceeded
movement.
Exceeded the combination of their...
military aid and economic aid combined.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stuff that even that's taught in schools is repetition of those days, and it's false.
You're absolutely right. So when you go back and examine it, and I did wake up, I woke up and I said, hey, wait a minute. It's almost like I woke up in the middle of the night and said, what? Listen, this was all Marxist baloney. What am I talking about? What was I doing? You know, stuff like that, you know,
right.
Waking up in a cold sweat and saying, where have I been? But, you know, we saw the end of the war, and even then I wasn't quite turned around, but I saw this horror take place, and I saw the left walk away and not take responsibility for what they had caused.
And but then the dime started to drop, you know, and little by little I became alert. But it took me a while, so I understand why what's happening when people are heavily programmed. It's very hard to talk to them.
I think people ought to keep that in mind too when they're some of their actions today. And that's why we learn history. The old saying is those that don't learn history are doomed to repeat it. So that's one of the reasons why we talk about those things. I've never known a group that has more right not to be patriotic than Vietnam veterans. But as a whole, I don't know of a single group that is more patriotic than Vietnam veterans.
There's no question. And I have to say this about the Vietnam vets, those of you guys that are listening. I have to say that my take on it is that they are the ones that have kept us going. They are the ones who have stepped up and made sure that these guys who are returning are getting a proper welcome. Now, people have said to me who didn't know this, this architecture, they say to me, well, at least we treat the guys better now. You know, they get their respect. Well, they don't get half the respect they should get, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But the respect that they get is because the Vietnam vets will not let what happened to them happen to this group.
And the founding principle of Vietnam Veterans of America, going to the first convention when people were saying, well, who are we? What are we going to be? The founding principle is, never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. That was a line from a speech given by a local state legislator who was a Vietnam vet, and that was in a speech, and everybody kept going back to it, and they said, that's who we are.
Yeah. Well, you have become that, and thank God you have become that. And, there's just this little tribute to a fellow on one of the few times that the military has been celebrated on mainstream media. Charles Gibson gave attention to this fellow who had met, thousands, how many 50,000 flights in Massachusetts, a Vietnam vet, and it was very moving, and the fellow was as impressive as the vets I met in Louisville. It was wonderful to see that tribute, and I hope it made its effect across the country. And it was the first time I've seen it. Now I don't know how that occurred, how that story became focused on, but it's something to build on. I say, well, that's a sign that we're starting to come around. Maybe we are making some inroads now. And I do think that things are changing right now. Politically, it's a very dangerous time. And I've alluded to that, and I made a speech last night with the Hannity Freedom Concert talking about really the freedoms that we're losing, that this takeover of our true freedoms by this administration. That's the way I see it. It's a very dangerous time. And these people are speaking out at the Tea Parties and stuff like that, and they're being characterized by this administration as being thugs and bullies. And these guys of this administration are professional at being agitators.
You know, one of the things that I've said,
and what they're doing is they're throwing people into the mix here to have fights at these Tea Parties and blaming it on the GOP. It's an insidious and very dangerous time for us right now as a nation. We
need to forget party, and we need to think of country. First America, first family, God, America, party.
I have to say that right now we're fighting a force here. I have to say that the hope for me is in the Republican Party now. I know that these leaders, I know most of the guys now. I've bumped into them, and there's tremendous leadership there with Romney and Giuliani and Gingrich and Sarah Palin
There are some good people coming up, and I like Duncan Hunter down near where you live. We're coming up to the break or to the end of the program, John, and I just really want to thank you for being on Veterans Radio. John Voight, star of Big Screen, Little Screen. Thank you once more, and thank you for what you do for the vets.
One more time, I just want to say to those guys listening, I say the Vietnam vets are
are a tremendous force in our society today. I so much deeply appreciate them. And I send my love to each and every one of you guys. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll have this time when we can celebrate you and learn a few of the lessons you have to teach us.
Thank you, John Voight, and God bless you, too.
What a wonderful world.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.